The Liberals will force Canadian banks to identify the carbon rebate by name when issuing direct deposits to Canadians.
BC Premier David Eby defends drug decriminalization as the federal Liberals and Conservatives raise concern over his province's approach.
A new study reveals there is no evidence to suggest that extreme weather events are on the rise, despite the assertions of climate activists and Canada's government. Hello, Canada. It's Monday, April 22nd, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Lindsay Shepherd.
And I'm William McBeth.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. The Liberals will force Canadian banks to identify the carbon rebate by name when issuing direct deposits to Canadians. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland's federal budget contains various amendments to the Financial Administration Act. The budget reads, quote, "The government proposes to amend the Financial Administration Act to provide regulation-making authority to prescribe labeling requirements by financial institutions for government payments accepted for deposit in customer account statements and online banking records." Environment Minister Stephen Guilbeault said that about 80% of Canadians receive their rebates through direct deposits, the other 20% of whom receive it via mail. True North previously reported that the Liberals rebranded what was previously known as the Climate Action Incentive Program to the Canada Carbon Rebate in February. The name change was only that, with no changes to the federal carbon pricing scheme or size of the rebates. William, do you see this as the Liberals forcing banks to do something that is political?
Yeah, I don't think the major concern that Canadians have with the carbon rebate was its name and how it appears in their online banking transaction list. I think the problem people have is they're being charged this carbon tax. It's making groceries, it's making electricity, it's making heating, it's making everyday things that Canadians buy more expensive. And simply renaming the deposit they get back quarterly from the government, their own taxes back, is not going to fix Canadians' dislike of this carbon tax, which is widely disliked by Canadians from coast to coast.
Right. And William, you know, this change in the law, it's not just about carbon rebates. It's also about all government deposits, including the child benefit, EI, and tax refunds. So it almost kind of seems like the Liberal government is saying, hey, guys, look, we give you money. Like, please don't vote us out. We're the ones giving you money.
No, I think you're right. I mean, only governments think that giving you back your own tax dollars is somehow giving you money, as opposed to returning money they've taken from you under questionable circumstances. But, governments engage in branding activities all the time. Some are more effective than others. Being a veteran of the Harper years, I remember the universal child care benefit and things like that. But no, I don't think that when a policy is this unpopular, this widely loathed by so many Canadians, simply rebranding it is going to get it to be a vote winner for the Trudeau Liberals. British Columbia's NDP Premier David Eby is facing criticism for going all in on his government's controversial drug decriminalization agenda as concerns mount. Eby's defense of his policy comes as federal mental health and addictions minister Yara Sachs plans to visit BC to discuss growing concerns and controversies surrounding the three-year pilot program, which decriminalized simple possession of up to 2.5 grams of heroin, fentanyl, cocaine, methamphetamine, and MDMA. Eby told CTV News, quote, "It's an incredibly challenging issue. We're trying to keep people alive, get them into treatment. We've opened hundreds of new treatment beds this year alone. We have attempted to put in place a system that recognizes some of the impacts we've seen of the ongoing toxic drug crisis that we're in, including public drug use by some individuals, and we're not going to let it go." Federal Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre also took a swipe at Eby this week, calling his drug decriminalization policy radical and dangerous. He also criticized Prime Minister Justin Trudeau for abetting it. BC Conservative leader John Ruscad also criticized the Eby government's approach to drugs in a statement to True North. calling his continued commitment to decriminalization insanity. Ruscat is pledging to end drug decriminalization if he is elected BC Premier. BC set a record of 2,511 suspected illicit drug deaths in 2023, despite the decriminalization pilot. So Lindsay, as a British Columbian, you've seen probably more than most the firsthand impact of the EB's drug decriminalization policy. What are your thoughts on its effectiveness and its impact on the ground?
William, this is not just an issue that affects the big cities in BC. It's also in small towns. But something that did happen in a suburb is a video recently went viral from a Tim Hortons in Maple Ridge, BC, which is about 45 minutes to an hour outside of Vancouver. And you can see someone openly smoking crack in the restaurant. And Mike Farnworth, who's our public safety minister, he just kind of responded saying, "This is outrageous." It's like, well, yeah, but what are you going to do about it? Because there are also nurses in BC hospitals. I think the particularly vocal nurses are on Vancouver Island, and they're complaining about having to inhale drug fumes on the job because the BC Coroner's Service says that inhalation is now the most common way that addicts use drugs. It's not so much injection. On top of that, we've seen a leaked memo from Northern Health, so the health authority in Northern BC, and this internal memo told staff, nurses, to not confiscate drugs or drug paraphernalia or even weapons like knives from patients. But you know, this is an election year in BC. We have an election scheduled for October 2024, and it does seem that the NDP government might be struggling a bit with this decriminalization policy and how it's actually playing out. Our health minister Adrian Dix, he said, I think this was just a week ago, that every hospital in BC is going to have a drug use zone. He made that very clear. He said that addicts are going to continue to use no matter what. And if we don't want them to use in hospital bathrooms and in hospital beds, then they have to have dedicated zones in the hospital. But then within days, maybe not even a day, he completely backtracked, rescinded it. And now the BC NDP is saying they have absolutely no plans to do that. So I think they're recognizing that the public is blaming decriminalization for the disorder that they see on the streets. A Fraser Institute study found that although global temperatures have increased moderately since 1950, there is no evidence to suggest that extreme weather events are on the rise, despite the assertions of climate activists and Canada's government. The study analyzed data found in the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the UN IPCC, and found that in many cases, the frequency and severity of extreme weather events decreased or stayed the same rather than escalating. The author of the study, Kenneth Green, a senior fellow at the Fraser Institute, spoke to True North about his findings. Green has a doctoral degree in environmental science and engineering from UCLA and has been studying environmental policy since before receiving his doctorate in 1984. He said the assessments from the UN IPCC authors are subjective and contradict the data found in their own study. The IPCC claims with medium confidence that the frequency of droughts has increased around the world, though Green found the data they cite from the World Meteorological Organization, or WMO, Standardized Precipitation Index, which covers world data from 1901 to 2017, indicates no significant trend in drought has occurred. William, does this study debunk the type of radical climate alarmism pushed by our political leaders and climate activists?
You know, I think one of the things that's made this topic so controversial is that people who really believe in it treat it almost as people treat religion. They don't need evidence. They have their faith. And even if evidence contradicts what they believe, it doesn't matter. So, you know, you remember Al Gore saying 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we're going to have no polar ice caps. They'd be gone by now. Every one of these alarmist predictions has turned out to either be overwrought or completely false. And so I think this is an important study. It shows just the latest trend that shows all of the things we've been told about worsening catastrophic weather events or catastrophic natural disasters as a result of climate change just isn't true. And I think it really does a disservice to those who are in the science community who are working hard to look at what the evidence is saying and to put forward fact-based and evidence-based analysis when you've got climate alarmists essentially lying, or if you want a less harsh term, being a little fast and loose with the truth in terms of saying, well, you know, look at all these disastrous events. They're all the fault of climate change. Well, that's not what the science says. And I think people are going to be, well, they should be comforted by the fact that the world isn't succumbing to all of these natural disasters and disastrous weather events that climate change is supposedly responsible for.
You know, William, maybe with the lack of extreme weather events that are happening, the rhetoric kind of has to match what's actually happening on the ground. And what I mean by that is, so in BC in 2021, we had a heat wave. Yes, it was really hot. It was 34 degrees. It's true. That was really hot. However, last summer, I noticed for the first time, so 2023, I was getting extreme heat alerts, you know, from my weather app for normal summer weather, you know, 29 degrees. And someone made the comment to me that, like, this is not an extreme weather event. This is what I know as summer.
No, it is true that I noticed that on my own phone, too. Extreme heat alert, or as we used to call it when I was growing up, a nice summer's day. And I think you've hit the nail on the head that, again, the rising alarmism isn't being borne out by the facts. It's not to say that there aren't important environmental issues we should be taking seriously, and the government policy shouldn't be built to address any identified and science-based concerns. But you cannot be needlessly alarmist and make claims that are simply not supported by the evidence and expect to have people believe you when it comes to this issue.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if you're able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news. Bye for now.